And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, time for a special two-hour edition of Off the Wall. Chapter 6. Poland.
Gościem rozmowy prowadziła Anna Stawowska. Dziękuję pięknie.
Bardzo serdecznie dziękuję. Do widzenia.
Życzymy Państwu miłego wieczoru i do zobaczenia oczywiście w teatrze.
Gość w Radiu Pogoda.
Reklama. Wiesz co, Marian? Super jest ten nasz nowy telewizor.
No, wiadomo, Barbara. A kto go przywiózł, podłączył i skonfigurował?
No... I panowie z Media Expert.
I jeszcze tego starego grata zabrali. Wygodnie i za darmo.
Teraz w Media Expert nowy telewizor przywozimy do Twojego domu. Wnosimy, podłączamy, konfigurujemy i programujemy. A jeśli trzeba, stary sprzęt odbieramy za darmo. Więcej w sklepach Media Expert i na mediaexpert.pl.
Reklama.
Marcepan to i miód, święta z dalekich miast, pocztówek przychodzi w bród. Hej, tam za siedmiu mórz. mnie już gnają do świąt. Tu nam dobrze i już bezpieczny jest każdy kąt. Tańczy śnieżynka i cholinka roztacza wkoło swój blask. Niebo się bieli i anieli gdzieś tam mrugają wśród gwiazd, pośród gwiazd.
It's actually not as much street noise as it was. We're recording this on Christmas Eve, and we are in Warsaw, in Poland. The other day it was extremely noisy on the street right below us. As we close the window now. Nice solid window. But it being the eve of a holiday, I think things have quieted down quite a bit. We've been to Warsaw a couple of times, and it's one of my favorite cities. How about you, Kyle?
I don't know. I mean, it's growing on me in interesting ways. Definitely this trip, and I'd like to spend more time here, but I don't know that that's exactly the case for me. I think this is the second or third time I've spent a couple days here, but it's really interesting how, I don't know, how it's changed, how it's evolved, and I want to know more. We've definitely spent a lot of time in Poland, in the sort of outskirts, in touristy thing, you know, areas, historical areas, as well as passing through places like Wrocław for train transfers and stuff. But
which is not how the Polish people pronounce it. I have no idea how they pronounce it, but it's not. It doesn't sound anything like that.
Be that as it may, Warsaw itself has its charm. It's interesting. It's busy. It's a very big place, a modern city. I already know about the ugly buildings. So it's like a lot of the stuff that maybe would be a draw or at least a spectacle is sort of not as big a deal anymore. It feels like more familiar, like going to Chicago or going to a place I know. And having spent the time that we've spent here, I as I said, want to know more, want to learn other aspects of it and what other sorts of attractions there are.
I see a lot of New York in Warsaw. There's something about the pace, something about the way people move on the street. First of all, we're not constantly running into people. It does happen a few times, but nothing like in the Baltics. But it's... there's something very familiar about Warsaw that I just feel comfortable. And the transit has improved so much over the years. This city is almost on a level that you could compare to Berlin as far as the integration of the various forms of transit. We were wandering around yesterday, hopping on one thing or another, and it was just so incredible how all these systems exist. There's a tram network, there's the bus network, there's the metro, then there's what we call the secret metro, and the reason we call it that is because it's not in Central Station. It's a couple of blocks up from Central Station. There are no signs for it per se, and it's not the metro, and it's regional trains, but they don't stop at Central Station. They go other places, and you know, one time I was standing in Central Station, and I heard trains going by behind a wall. And I was like, what are these trains? Where are they going? How come they're not stopping here? And I discovered this whole other network that was below ground. It's not the metro, because the metro is a couple of blocks further up. I have to look at a map to figure it all out. I'm sure it makes sense, but boy, it got confusing. And yesterday we just hopped on a tram. We've got to tell the story about the passes. Let me just get this part out of the way first. Jumped on a tram, took it to some far-off place, saw a train passing over a bridge, got off the tram, walked up to the train station that was there, took the train, realized it wasn't going to Central Station, it was going to some other station, got off at that station, and discovered this massive, massive a train station that we had never heard of before. I think it was called Zakonia, something like that. And it's just, it's a beautiful station. My God, it's huge. It's been rebuilt recently. It was originally built in 1936, but it looks like it was built yesterday. And just trains everywhere going to all parts of the country. And it's a quick way to get to Central Station as well. But I was completely blown away by that.
Yeah, we stopped at the end of what is, I think, a bit of a loop for the particular type of train that we had gotten on, I think, two or three stops earlier. And where it lets you off is this platform called Platform 9. And you don't realize it, but when you go downstairs, there's this enormous, brand-new passageway that leads you to the other tracks. And the reason we took the stairwell is we were trying to get to Central Station. You noted on the map, okay, we got to be on a different platform and a different track to get a particular train that will arrive in, you know, five, whatever, however much time it was. So we're looking at the signage and saying, okay, well, let's make our way to that platform and that track. Well, it is an underground passageway connecting this satellite platform to, as you said, a very big and very brand new, I mean, just squeaky, I don't know, I think they're still adding things to it. Some of the businesses and tenants haven't quite moved in some areas, but it was immense, the passageway. And then you got to this new station, Zakhodnya, I think is what it's called. And it has, I think, it must have like 12 tracks?
I think it's comparable to Jamaica Station, but just not as cramped as Jamaica. And there are trains everywhere. It's got the solid feel. Now, we're saying it's a brand new station, but I think that station has been around for a long, long time. It's been connected recently to the Track 9 version of the station and modernized. And you saw that it only cost 500 million euro to like modernize that station. It looks so incredible. It's definitely worth a visit if you can find it. It's not the easiest thing in the world if you're not familiar with the city. But there are trains that go from Central Station to the and we don't even have the name right. It begins with a Z. That's a lot of long words here, and we just get overwhelmed sometimes.
Yes, Zakhodnya must have at least like half a dozen platforms, and their use of really just sort of basic materials, but well assembled and integrated. I'm talking things like glass, stainless steel, a lot of exposed concrete, but really well implemented, and it's phenomenal how they put it together. The lighting, a lot of the glass hand railings are lit from below. The handrails on some of the stairwells are lit in such a way that you can see going up the stairs very, very clearly. The timetables are done in the style of the paper timetables that you would see in Western Europe, but are electronic, and they have integrated analog clocks and just little details and touches that make it just really impressive and well built.
And we were able to figure it out very quickly, not knowing the language. And I think that's the true test of a good train system, is if you can use it without speaking the native tongue. And it all just makes sense. Trains arrive when they're supposed to arrive. That's why I compare it to Germany, because it's gotten to that level. And the trains are modern, they're fast, they're clean. It's really, it's a joy to be a part of it.
Yes, and you done a little bit of searching and found that this is one of the busiest stations in Warsaw proper.
Yeah, and I never heard of it before, so that just shows you how much we have to learn. Now, getting back to us getting the passes, this is where Kyle always does research going into a city. How do we get the permanent plastic cards that have passes on them? Well, it turns out here in Warsaw you can and you can't do that. But what you discovered that we can do is really pretty incredible and impressive for two travelers. What was it you discovered?
Well, right. I looked into it and determined that to get the sort of hard plastic card that you just tap to enter and use the transit network across the network, buses, trams, all the different types of rail, they had a little bit of a different process. Something that I thought I'd seen variations on it in other cities, But it wasn't quite the same way here. And there were one of two or three ways to do it. But to get this type of card I'm describing, which here is called the Warsaw City card, you'd need to either fill out a form and get it mailed to you, which didn't really seem practical to us, or fill out some forms online, submit a little bit of information, including a photo, and basically immediately you'd get a response and then be able to go to what is called a customer service point or a personal, I think it's a POP. I'm not sure if it's translated the right way, but nevertheless, whatever the case, these service centers, as we had been seeking out in places like Riga, were open and were the place to show up at any of them to pick up this card as soon as you'd submitted it. So I got some photos, just you need a JPEG, and filled out the form. I used the address of the place we're staying, and a couple other details, personal details, which in many regards is forfeiting, but I wanted to use this system. I wanted to see if I could even get this type of card.
And what did it cost to do that?
It was free. The first card is free. To replace it costs a little bit, but I was like, okay, I'll give up a little bit of information if I can participate and get this particular city card. And after that, you said you want one.
Of course I want one. Yes, absolutely. And you know, fortunately we had pictures already on our laptop, so we were able to just upload those pictures. But the incredible thing was being able to do that, not paying any money, and just being able to waltz over to a train station and have these hard plastic cards with our pictures on it printed out and given to us ready for use.
Absolutely. And so we submitted all of that, and we had a little bit of a fiasco, which we'll get into in the interim. But after that, later in the day, we did go to a service point and talked to one of the representatives there. You simply show them a confirmation code that you're emailed by the transit system, the Warsaw Transit Authority, and that code basically calls up the card that they are going to create. You get to choose custom backgrounds for your card. You can even upload your own background for the card. So they use that code and then print out your card, hand it to you, and they offer, do you want to add anything, a contract, as they call it, to this card? What I didn't realize is that the only contracts you can put onto this card as an adult is a 30-day and a 90-day contract. I thought I could put a day pass on, but when I was asking, well, can you just put a one day on, the representative said, no, we can't. I'm sorry, that's not possible for this city card. It's a resident, a Warsaw resident city card. The only contracts we offer are 30 and a 90 day. Well, I didn't really need that, so I, feeling slightly defeated, just said okay, and allowed you to step into line. And I figured, okay, well, I got the card, it was free, I gave up a little bit of information, and hey, maybe in the future I'll want to spend a week or two or three, and a 30-day card or a contract may make more sense for that scenario. So I took my card and felt, okay, worst case, I have to go and buy a day pass, which the only other option is to use either contactless payment using an app or getting issued a paper ticket, which is similar to small BA that you would find in the Paris Metro or Montreal, a little mag stripe on the back and indication for the zones you've paid for, and that is validated on whatever form of transportation you first start your journey on for that 24-hour period. But you got your card right after me and had a little bit of a different experience.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think one of the reasons why they make you get that old school ticket, and it really is old school. This is the kind of tickets they were using in Paris in the 60s and 70s, I think, is that if it's just a day pass, you might just throw away that plastic card, and then you're creating all kinds of waste. The card doesn't cost anything, so why keep it? Making you hold on to it for 30, 90 days, whatever, makes it more likely that you won't do that. Now, in my case, when I went up to the window, I went through pretty much the same procedure. I didn't bother asking for a day pass because I knew what the answer would be. However, the guy stopped me and said, "You, sir." I forget exactly how he said it, but basically he said, "You qualify for a senior discount." He just was able to tell from my face, and okay, you know, they're very honest and straightforward here in Poland. Basically said, "Yeah, you're old. You can get a senior pass." And for the equivalent of about, I'd say maybe 13, 14 U.S. dollars, I could have a pass that would last not one day, not one week, not even one month, but 1 year. I have a pass in my pocket that will allow me to ride any kind of mass transit within zones 1 and 2 in Warsaw for a year. And I only paid $13 or $14 for that. Which makes me wonder, if you had gotten the 30-day pass, you might have paid as much as you paid for your day pass. Because your day pass cost half as much as my year pass.
Yes, it was 26 plizen. How do you say the currency?
I don't know how to say that either. But I do know that every time I see somebody who's old on the train or the bus or the tram or the metro, I know they're not paying anything right now. They already paid way back, and this is their year pass. If not, they're nuts for not using this deal. It's an incredible deal. Can you imagine something like that in the States?
Yeah, and if anything, it gives them something to live for that year, you know, make it through, get your money's worth, that kind of thing.
Thank you. Yes, it certainly has improved my my outlook on life. You know, I should point out, though, we had a super rough landing here. And this happens sometimes when you travel. It's happened to us many times. Sometimes things don't go exactly right. Now, we had booked basically an apartment instead of a room in a hotel.
There's a terminology, I think it's a fusion of words. It's called apart hotel.
Yeah, it looks remarkably like the word apartheid, but I try not to see that. Just apart hotel. It's really weird. So we went to the address. It's very close to Central Station. It's basically you walk down an alleyway. First of all, we had no idea what we were walking into because we just had the address. So, okay, this number is down that alley. It's a dark alley leading into some kind of parking lot. We got to a door, and the door had this little intercom on it. And it said to, enter 10 to get reception, quote-unquote reception. And we did that, and it just rang a few times and then reset, and nothing happened. And here we are. It's a very solid door that's completely locked. You cannot get through. There's no sign of life anywhere. We're inside this driveway, and there's a parking lot on one end, and there's a street on the other end. And we're kind of, you know, it's cold outside. It's nighttime. We just arrived, and we have no idea what's going on. I keep trying to ring that. Then we try to hack the intercom to see if we can figure out how to get in. Not that that would help us, because we need to get into our room, wherever that was. So eventually, I was able to call up the email with the reservation information. And after going through several pages and hitting more and all that kind of thing, I found a phone number. And I called the phone number, and that rang and rang and rang. Eventually somebody answered, and they were actually quite helpful. So they said, "Hold on." They gave me all this information. There's, you know, a language barrier, obviously, but they gave me this information, and one of the bits of information was a code to type to open the door, which I wasn't able to really understand what they were saying. So eventually they came to the door and opened it, and we later found out what the code to get into the door is. And I guess we can come to the city any time and open that door. But we got our room. And the first sign of trouble with our room was basically there are three windows all next to each other, and each window has a shade on it. And you know, I mentioned it's very busy street outside. It's not busy today because it's Christmas Eve, but it's extremely busy day and night most other times. And the first thing we tried to do was roll down the shades. Kyle, you had a problem with one of the shades that defied you and rolled back up, and you couldn't retrieve it. So that made things a little bit frustrating and difficult. Eventually, we were able to get the shade to come down, but it was, you know, the place didn't feel good. It felt like we were in a hole in the wall, and it wasn't a very welcoming environment, and we just kind of didn't feel it at the moment.
Absolutely. I was basically quite frustrated trying to just get a little bit of privacy. I wanted to change clothes and not put on a show for everyone. And we'd been on a train all day. I had a lot of reasons to be a little bit annoyed at that. And yeah, well, I won't get into detail, but I definitely let you know how I feel about this place and you and what the point of any of this is. I was definitely feeling a lot of travel stress, which I had talked about the other week, the other day, and even in anticipation of this whole trip, that it felt like something important for us to do, but that it would not be easy, and that there would be absolutely moments of that stress. And I nearly wandered off into the streets with my bags. You discouraged me from doing that, but it was quite difficult. But that continued a little bit, actually, after we finally got the shades down and got a couple things across the street at a really lovely grocery store. We made some tea, I think, and basically called it a night. The next day, though, got, well, a little bit more interesting.
Well, yeah, I should point out a couple of things. You know, on paper, it looked like a good idea. It was, certainly was more affordable than, you know, a hotel room. It supposedly came with a washer dryer, which I wanted to make use of because I've been carrying around the same clothes for a while, and I just wanted to get things clean and not have to spend all day at a laundromat. Then we discovered, though, that when we got into the cramped bathroom, which, by the way, you have to sit on the toilet seat to look at the washing machine. There's no other way to do it. It's right in front. Of course, you can also watch the laundry machine go while you go. Basically, it wasn't a dryer part. You know, we were talking to Gemini, you know, artificial intelligence, asking, okay, is this model actually a dryer? Because it's all in Polish, obviously. We couldn't understand what was going on in the washing machine. I have a difficult time enough with washing machines and all the choices. But in Polish, boy, it was impossible. So fortunately, artificial intelligence was able to explain it to us and say in no uncertain terms, no, this is not a dryer as well. So right away, we were kind of upset by that because clearly it said in the reservation that it came with a dryer. Then the next day, I believe you, with your audacity, decided to take a shower, and that's when things really started to go off the rails.
Yeah, and don't forget, you bought some laundry detergent, which now was starting to look like something you couldn't actually make use of. We were trying to figure out, okay, so maybe we could wash and then wring things out or otherwise get them dry enough. But that didn't make sense because you only have one pair of trousers.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you don't have to go into my wardrobe. But yeah, the thing is that the supermarket across the street, we found a box of detergent, you know, old school detergent. That was while we thought we had a washer dryer. And I brought it back and then realized we didn't have a dryer. Not much point in doing clothes if we can't dry the clothes. We're not going to hang them out on the street. So basically we had a big box of detergent and nothing to do with it.
Indeed. So let me tell you about this shower, though. Okay, so I went in, turned on the whole thing, and was kind of doing some other tasks, you know, waiting for the shower to warm up. And taking care of some other business, and just basically setting things up in the bathroom. And after about 5 minutes or so, I was about ready to get into the shower and begin that. And I looked around. And I realized, wow, there's a little bit of water. Like there's a puddle. And in fact, there's a lot of water around the bed, and the entire bath mat, like the towel you put on the floor, was soaked. And then I looked around, and I was like, wow, there's like a puddle. It's almost going to go for the door.
But you never got to take the shower. I thought you took the shower, and that's when you noticed the leak. You never took the shower?
No, I started realizing it was wet inside the bathroom.
Wow.
And it was starting to go out the door, and I realized, okay, so I'm already half wet. I should just finish the shower or just wash quickly, like kind of some key areas just to get something out of this thing. So I realized, okay, if it's this kind of thing like where we got a crazy shower, which you do experience when you go to hotels, when you go to motels, when you travel at all, you realize that there are high traffic areas. Bathrooms are one of them. Mm-hmm. So you get sinks that don't drain. You get shower handles that fall off and are hazards and hit you in the head, and doors that you know, handles that fall off in your hand. Because people use these things so frequently, they leave and they don't say anything. They don't tell anybody that needs maintenance, or the place that you're renting from doesn't care. So, I was kind of like, I'm going to just do as much showering as I can, and then I'll just do a little cleanup of whatever kind of little leak we got going on here. Not realizing until after my quick abridged shower that not only was it leaking a little bit around the outside of the shower and in the bathroom, but when I went out to tell you, I realized the entire kitchenette area had a puddle of water in it. So we had a massive amount of water, and I had no idea how or what, where it was coming from, how it had gotten out there so quickly.
And I'm sitting there just checking email, not aware that there's a flood approaching me. It's now taken over the bathroom and the kitchen, and it has eyes on the bedroom.
Indeed. So I stepped out and started telling you, look, this shower review, you wanted me to basically give you the rundown once I had seen how it worked and whatever quirks or idiosyncrasies we needed to be aware of. Well, it's not going to be much of a review because this is practically unusable. So I was drying off in the middle of a sitting room and pointing at the floor in the kitchen saying this entire area is full of water. And we were then kind of like, okay, what do we do? Because we can't bathe. We can't dry the clothes. This room and the amenities aren't what they seem to be when we got here.
This keeps getting worse. And, of course, you know, there's nobody here. It's one of these places where, you know, there is no receptionist. There was a room, and that room happened to be next door to us. But that room was locked up. Nobody was there. So what do we do now?
Absolutely. And we didn't want to have like people in here while we're gone during the day. There was a lot of different aspects that were going to be disruptive if we say something or if we don't say something, if we don't get our ability to bathe or we don't get our clothes clean. All of these things became up in the air and kind of off the table if we weren't able to resolve this.
And you play all the scenarios through in your head, too. It's like, okay, well, they're going to say this, and I got to do that, and I'll take them to court, and I'll fight until my last breath. You know, you basically make the worst-case scenario play out in your head kind of talk yourself out of doing anything at some point. What are we going to do? I mean, there's nobody next door. Do I call that number again, and then what? Do we wait for somebody to show up and fix it? Do we, as Kyle said, do we go out and have people rummaging about in our room while we're away? Nothing seemed to be a good solution.
You resolved that we should do a little bit more experimenting so that we have a case or we have information to relay, not just, gee, why is it wet everywhere?
But you didn't know if it was coming from the shower or the sink or the toilet. It could have been coming from anything. We just knew there was a lot of water. It could have been coming from that washing machine that wasn't a dryer. Yeah. We didn't know. So I asked you, okay, turn on the shower, and I'm going to make a little video or at least wait for something to start leaking out and then make the video. And sure enough, that's what happened. After about 3 or 4 minutes, we saw a little trickle at the bottom of the shower. And I grabbed my camera, made a 5-10 second video of it, and now we had the evidence.
Yeah, we wiped some of the puddle away from the base of the shower with a towel so that it was dry to see where it might reemerge. And it was absolutely coming out from where the seam, the base of the shower, was sitting on the floor. It was bubbling and dripping after a while. We basically recreated the whole thing and watched it, you filming it. And at that point, we had a little bit of, the scenario to describe exactly where and how it's happening. So you then contacted the proprietors of the place.
Well, I called the number again. It rang for a long time. But then eventually somebody picked up. I think it was the same woman from the night before. And apparently she was in the building and was walking up the stairs while the phone was ringing. So I was able to explain the situation to her. She came immediately. I showed her the video. She was, you know, very concerned. immediately put us in another room, which was on the other side of the reception room. And I have to say, that's the room we're in right now, which we're about to leave. It's so much better. This room really is so much better because it has a washer dryer. This one actually is. We checked with artificial intelligence, and yeah, this time you have a dryer. Still had to have all the buttons explained, but we were able to do our laundry overnight and a good shower. It's just nicer in all regards. And it kind of turned around. Now I'm really attached to this place. I was feeling awful. I was feeling like we were in a cruddy environment. And now I feel like I'm living as somebody who would live in Warsaw would live, you know, in an apartment across the street from a grocery store, you know, down the block from a bakery. It just feels so authentic and welcoming. But sometimes it's really hard to get there. And we went through a lot to get to this point, but I'm very, very happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, and there were a little bit of signs and glimmers. It took a bit. We, at one point, forgot the detergent in the other room, but the woman that was helping us was actually in the stairwell, noticed that I was looking for someone and let me back in there to get the detergent. And again, the machine here ends up also being a dryer. It's a different brand, different model. And we looked it up. It's able to dry, whereas the other one wouldn't dry.
So that was the ultimate irony, because I bought detergent for the other room and discovered that I couldn't use the wash machine because it wasn't also a dryer. And then we moved to the new room, and it had a washer-dryer, but I forgot the detergent. So you were able to solve that problem by catching the woman before she left. But we actually did have another issue where we lost one of our chargers, and we cannot for the life of us figure out how we did that, because we basically moved from one room to the other, and that charger has just disappeared off the face of the earth. We actually asked to be let back in by somebody else to that room, not too long, within the hour after we left it, so that we could search to make sure the charger wasn't there. It wasn't there, and it wasn't in our bags. It's not in the new room. Charger just up and left somehow. This is going to be one of the mysteries that's going to plague me for the rest of my days. There's just one hope left, and that's that somebody in that reception room when we leave, and that they might have found it. Well, I'd let them know we're looking for this. I described it. They said if we find it, we'll let you know. I don't know, Kyle. I don't feel good about that. That is the first thing we have lost, I think, on this trip. And fortunately, you have another one, so I'm not really that concerned. But it's just, you know, we're very good at not losing things. We have all these compartments in our clothing, in our bags. Maybe we haven't talked about this enough, but we travel so light. I have one knapsack. You have a slightly bigger bag, but we're able to cram so much into those small bags, and they have multiple compartments, and everything goes in a certain place. And, you know, I wear cargo pants, so there's all kinds of pockets there that I can stick various things. I know where everything is. You want passports over here, you know, credit card over there. I think it's the way to do it right, because you are so flexible. You can leave on a moment's notice, which we're going to have to do pretty soon to make our train to the next destination. But it's so much better than lugging a whole lot of stuff with you. It's still heavy. It's still, you know, it's taxing if you're walking around the city. I mean, yesterday we put on something like 20,000 steps. It's ridiculous. We weren't carrying our bags either. But those days where you do, where you just arrive, it can be a lot. But it is so much better than having multiple bags that you simply can't move without.
Yeah, I'm traveling with maybe a little bit more gear than I need to, but I brought a full digital SLR with an old glass lens, so it's quite heavy. I could be traveling with even less were I not bringing that. I also have a hard case for a laptop that I can slip in my bag. But yeah, these aren't day bags, but they're incredibly small compared to what we see other people traveling with. And I'm living for a month out of basically a backpack.
And when you consider what we're able to do, we're able to do all this sound recording, we're able to check email and do all kinds of technological things. It's truly amazing.
Yeah, and we're layering our clothing. Like, I'm prepared for all weather. I have insulated layers, like a vest that I can roll up. I have a outer shell that's been quite helpful in wet conditions and when there's wind. definitely this is hat and glove weather. Mm-hmm. I've got a bandana or like a silk scarf I made that is really nice when you're all kind of wrapped up and need something to kind of protect your neck from the wind. And, yeah, a good sturdy pair of tennis shoes, a couple changes of socks and undergarments, but that's really all you need to get around and be comfortable. I'm glad I didn't kind of overpack. That's something I'm always trying to perfect. And I still feel like I have too much or that I could, like, streamline things even more. But another cool thing we bring is a power strip with an extension cord, basically a European cord for electronics with the end cut off and a NEMA female plug on the other end. So oftentimes plugs are in odd places when you go into hotels. So if you want to plug in even a short power strip, it's quite far away from where you're actually going to be putting your devices. So, yeah, I have a power strip and then probably like a 4 or 5 foot extension that has European plug on one side for the wall and a NEMA American, North American plug on the other end to connect the power strip to. And that is probably the coolest custom power strip that I've ever seen. I know other people have things they buy and stuff, but I made it.
How did you make this, by the way? And not everybody should do that because it does require some skill.
Yeah, you look up the wiring diagram for the color coding of the wires, and the plug for the wall end is molded for a European plug. And the reason I have that is a lot of things that you buy for computers and different types of switches, networking gear, a lot of times they come with various types of cord that plug into a standard plug on the back of the device. I don't know what it's called. I think it's like a Molex or something like that. But basically the plug that you would plug into like a power supply or something, I just cut that off, strip the wire, and put a, like I said, a NEMA North American female end on one end. So you have the Euro adapter on one end molded and built for that cable, and then I just cut the other end off and put the female end of the cord there so I can plug in a regular American power strip. So what you end up with is a really pleasant size extension and then a whole bunch of NEMA plugs for all of our devices. That way, you're plugged in a nice, safe way. You're not, like, having these adapters stacked up on the outlets in some place. You have no idea what the wiring is like. I want to just plug in a solid way on one end and then break out my other connections so that we can just plug our laptops in like we would anywhere in the U.S., however, we're running at 220 volts and with the North American electricity. But it's a cool way to go. There's lots of ways to do it, but it's super helpful, especially on trains and in weird places where the outlet is super far away or like behind a bed or something.
It's really been a lifesaver. We're able to charge multiple things and do it in a safe manner. So that's definitely something that has been advantageous. One other thing I want to mention before we go, so in this apartment, which is really pretty cool. When we look over the entire adventure that we had, but downstairs is a Ukrainian restaurant, which is so awesome. We discovered that, of course, in Poland. Poland borders where all the trouble is happening, and has been very supportive of Ukraine. And every time we've gone by, we went to the place, and it was fantastic. But every time we walk by, it's full. It's full of people. At night, daytime, the support people show is just simply incredible. And I imagine there are others as well, but it was just so nice to find this right on our block. So definitely recommend coming to Warsaw, Poland in general. It's a fantastic country. It's growing. It's getting more technologically advanced by the day. And it's inspirational. You know, we took a train from Lithuania, and when we had to take two trains, one to the border and one past the border. The first train we took, which was Lithuanian, had a Christmas tree in it. You walk in, it was like walking into a living room, but it was a train. You know, it's just little things like that really make you realize, boy, it's not hard to make life just a little bit better with some decoration and ingenuity. So that's part of the magic of traveling in this region at this particular time of the year.
Yeah, all of the Christmas stuff from city to city. We've seen markets. We've seen decorations everywhere. It really is, I think, an alternative to what you might see in your own neighborhood and what people do stateside. But it's a brilliant way to experience all the different traditions and all the different kinds of lighting and coziness.
One thing we were going to do was get your rail passes or equivalent for American travelers. It doesn't pay off. You know, I really was looking forward to doing that. But if you're not spending about $100 a day on train fare, you're losing money because you can basically get a four-day pass for about $400 or a seven-day pass for about $700. Discounts if you're very young, which neither of us are very young anymore, and I don't know if there's discounts if you're very old. Maybe I'll approach that age.
Whoa! How long are you planning to live? I got years.
I want to take advantage of this at some point, but the thing is, we looked it over, and train travel is so cheap that it made it not make any sense. I mean, literally, get from country to country, you're talking about maybe $30 US. For an 8-hour train ride or even longer. So I don't see that stopping anytime soon. So it doesn't make sense to get a Euro pass for us. If we were traveling in Western Europe, maybe it would. We'll have to see. We'll have to do some more experimentation. Anyway, we're going to run. We have to go to our next destination, which you can tune in to find out where that is. And write to us, otw@2600.com from Warsaw. A good night.
Indeed. We'll be back, Warsaw, Poland. We see you. We had a good time. It's not the last time.
Chapter 7, Germany.
Vor einer halben Stunde wurden gemessen Berlin-Kreuzberg 3 Grad, Templin 2, Welzow auch 2 Grad. In der Nacht wird es kaum kälter, Tiefstwerte 0 Grad. In den nächsten Stunden und auch Tagen ziehen immer mal wieder neue Regen, Schneeregen oder Graupelschauer durch. Zum Wochenende hin, ab übermorgen, wird es wieder etwas frostiger.
Verkehr.
Keine Meldungen aus Brandenburg. Berlin-Tempelhof, Platz der Luftbrücke. In Höhe Columbiadamm sind die Ampeln außer Betrieb. Der Bereich rund ums Brandenburger Tor, den Tiergarten, ist noch bis morgen Abend gesperrt. Grund sind die Abbauarbeiten der Silvesterparty. Zur S-Bahn. Wegen Vandalismusschäden ist der Zugverkehr der Ringbahnlinien 41 und 42 zwischen Gesundbrunnen und Westhafen unterbrochen. Es gibt Busersatzverkehr. Radio 1 wünscht gute Fahrt.
Die Radio 1 Hörerchart. Die Top 100. Die 100 besten Songs 2025. Mit Hendrik Schröder.
So Leute, jetzt wird das hier doch langsam spannend.
Platz 20.
Also 2 Stunden haben wir noch miteinander, kurz vor 19 Uhr dann die Nummer 1. Bis 18 Uhr können Sie da noch mitvoten, mitraten, mich anrufen. Und jetzt also bei der Nummer 20 sind wir gelandet. Und die kommt von Matt Berninger von The National, jetzt solo unterwegs, was schön ist. Denn, also dass es überhaupt neue Sachen von ihm gibt, weil nach seinem ersten Soloalbum meinte er, er hat jetzt eine Schreibblockade und ihm falle einfach nichts mehr ein. Also er würde gerne weiter produzieren und veröffentlichen und so. Die ging dann aber glücklicherweise vorbei, die Schreibblockade. Und sie haben Bonnet auf Pins von Matt Berninger auf die 20 gewählt.
Well, Kyle, here we are in Germany.
Yes, Germany.
Wow. Okay, you know, we've been to a lot of places, but yes, we wound up in Germany after Poland. We took the train from Poland, from Warsaw to Berlin.
Yes, I believe it was the ICC, Intercity Rail Train.
It's something like that. You know what, it doesn't matter. There's a train... we got on it in Warsaw, and we made it to Berlin in fairly good time. You know, it was a long train ride, but fairly cheap, too. You know, not very much. I think, like, you know, 30, 40 euro at the most.
Sure, yeah. Instead of the pass that we had been talking about, I think we're just doing smaller connections.
Yeah, you know, the euro pass seemed like such a good idea at the time. And it is, if you're... if you're in Western Europe, hopping on trains going, you know, from Madrid to Paris and things like that. But if you're going from Vilnius to Warsaw and you know, Warsaw to Berlin, it doesn't pay off because you're paying less per day than, say, your 4-day or 7-day Eurorail pass would require you to spend in order not to lose money on the deal.
Can I just say, Warsaw Central Station there... there's not really very many places to sit down. In fact, it took us about a half an hour. We were waiting before our train left, and it took us about a half an hour to actually find the waiting room.
That's true. That's true. It was really difficult. You thought it was a smoker's lounge at first, and, it could have been. It was kind of depressing.
Yeah, it was this enclosed glass room in, like, one top corner. You had to go up a certain set of stairs... it was off to the side, but we used it. We had some soft drinks and just basically counted down the minutes until we had to head to our track. But that was successful, and we eventually found our seats and climbed aboard, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a strange train station, Warsaw Central. I don't know, it's just something weird about the staircases. They kind of, like, collide with each other. It's just, I don't know, architecture in the Stalinist era, just, it was very, very weird and different. But I'm glad it's preserved because, boy, that's a testament to mankind.
It's also very, very cold, especially during winter, down underground. We were upstairs, and then when we made our way to the platform, it was very cold on that platform. It's all stone structure, concrete, reinforced concrete. And, of course, you have these trains coming in that have been out in the elements, and they're sort of bringing in a lot of cold metal. And I just remember standing there. We were standing in our section, sort of away from a large group of other people, and it was quite chilly, even though it's totally enclosed, which you might not think about if you're standing there waiting, that it's essentially like being outside, quite exposed. But you're underground and in what looks like a subway platform, sort of, and that's basically what the wait was like. But we had a different class of seats, and, well, we were really kind of the only ones there when we got settled inside the train. They brought us some coffee.
That's right, we were first class. I forgot about that. Yeah, we were able to book a ticket in first class because it was only a couple of euro more than the usual second class. But literally the only advantage to that was that they brought us one solitary cup of coffee, which I almost immediately spilled. And, you know, it was half my fault. Well, maybe 60% my fault, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
No, it was like a tiny paper cup, and the woman brought it, and then we had, like, some snacks. I think they were these, like, elephant, like, pretzels. There's some brand with an elephant on it, and they're like smashed pretzels, so they're kind of flat, like pretzel crisps, sort of. So that bag was like right next to you. You couldn't see it, and I had already drank like maybe 3/4 of the coffee. It wasn't much coffee left, but you reached over and it like brushed the bag, and then this like chain reaction caused the cup to spill.
Your cup, yeah.
I was like screaming no, or like just like no, no, no. Like it was like
it was in slow motion. Yeah, it was literally slow motion.
Totally.
How did you do that? It was weird. Like everything was in slow motion when you.
It was incredible. We were moving, and yet this thing, I anticipated it was going to happen, and it's spilling. And then this very small amount of coffee, it just got everywhere. I don't know how. It was spilling on the ground. It was on everything.
Well,
on the
it wasn't on you. It didn't get on you. It got all over the floor. That's true. But then, you know, I went to the dining car to get some napkins, and I really had to negotiate hard to get these napkins because the woman who gave us the coffee, she didn't understand anything I was saying. I was making a motion of what a napkin was. And the guy behind the counter who makes food and all that, he knew what I was saying. He pointed to the napkins. But there were only like 4 of them in the dispenser. That was it. I took 3. I took, you know, 3/4 of the napkin allocation for the day. And then the trick you taught me, the bartender trick, and folks, this is an important tip here. Write it down. It's really, if you spill something on the floor, don't get on your knees and scrub like some kind of 1950s housewife. No. What you do is you just drop the napkins or, if you're lucky, the towel that you have onto the floor and you wipe with your foot. You step on it and you wipe with your foot. Try it. Spill something now. Try it out. And then drop the towel on it and use your foot. It's amazing. So I was able to do that with 3 napkins I cleaned up most of the mess on the floor.
Yes, that worked. And I was glad that we got something sort of to remediate that situation. I think eventually we meandered over during our train trip to Berlin, and we got some snacks. We availed ourselves of what is an impressive cafe car that you can get like Polish stew and all kinds of different things.
Oh, I had rye soup. That was so good. Rye soup on a train. Probably the best rye soup I've ever had. It's the only rye soup I've ever had, but probably the best soup I've ever had on any train.
Yeah, and I encourage anybody who's traveling like this, just check out, at least look. Like, check out what's on the menu. You might get some really good local dishes or just a feel for what is traditional or something that people enjoy, like a local delicacy that you might not know about. It might turn you on to something, and often those ingredients are a different level than something that is maybe more typical because they have sort of attention to detail. They want to get it. They take much more pride, say, in that dish. So it was cool to check that out and travel in comfort on our way out of Poland
and our way into Berlin, which. Was always, it's always good to see a city that you're familiar with, somewhat familiar with. It's a huge city. You can never totally be familiar with it. But just seeing the familiar sights. We hadn't been there in so long. It's pre-COVID. And there we were, Alexanderplatz and Hauptbahnhof and just all the familiar places. So we pulled in there. Made our way around. We got our day passes. You got to get day passes when you are using mass transit a lot. I don't think there was anything really special about day passes in Germany, in Berlin, that is, because it was really just a card, right? It wasn't a hard plastic thing that we've been getting in various cities.
Yeah, they use these small tickets that you validate. They're paper tickets. A little bit larger. They're more like a square ticket, and the machines stamp them with a time, and they're very, very, very affordable, and it's kind of more practical. They don't really have the same kinds of reloadable cards for all the reasons we noted in other places. It is impractical, it's a lot of plastic, and they have this sort of well-proven stamping machine that validates stuff. So we went ahead with what we were pretty familiar with and what is quite common there, and we're able to travel around quite easily.
Yeah, it's just great to be able to just get on a train or get on a bus or get on a tram and not worry having this thing in your pocket.
This is WUSB 90.1 FM in Stony Brook.
Yeah, they really work quite well, and we explored really familiar places, basically just getting comfortable, getting back to sort of Western Europe and Germany proper, that a place we've been to many times, even familiar neighborhoods. And of course, during this part of the year, there's quite a bit in honor of the Christmas season. So we availed ourselves, walked around a little bit of the traditional markets that in other countries we had experienced. In fact, we've been to several on this particular trip, but we enjoyed what was there, just checking it out so we could maybe visit later, and then kind of explored, got on some trains, and in fact got a little bit lost.
Yeah, we tend to do that quite a bit, just wandering around. It's a fun thing to do, but we eventually found our way and explored. Like Kyle said, we went to the Christmas Village. The one in Alexanderplatz is the one that we went to. And I remember going to that years ago, and it was closed after Christmas. It closed that day and stayed closed afterwards. That wasn't the case anymore. It was open not only on Christmas, but on days afterwards. And that was great because, it gave us a place to go. You get some glue wine. Not worse, and all kinds of things. Some places took credit cards, some places didn't, but we figured it out. We were able to make our way. And also, throughout the city, things were open on the holiday. We were worried that nothing would be open. People told us, you're not going to find anything. We found a lot. There was a lot there. Yeah, the train stations tend to be the best places that more things are open. That's always been the case. But we found quite a bit in the streets as well. So it was definitely a relief. It was just a lot of fun hanging out there.
It was a little weird at the Christmas market. They had a roller skating rink instead of an ice rink. Even though it was really, really cold, I think they just switched it up and changed that tradition for whatever reason. But the vendors there were really kind of cool. You mostly had to pay cash, but a lot of the tap-to-pay was available for concessions. You'd have to go to certain places. But it did seem to be something that is ubiquitous, and even in a Christmas market setting. So that was an interesting observation. So, Christmas roller skating is now a thing. But I guess it's because the weather isn't sort of as predictably cold, and there wasn't a lot of snow.
I don't know what it is, but on this trip, we have not had any snow at all. We went to Iceland. we went to Iceland and Finland. No snow at all. There have been two snowfalls back home. And I got to tell you, folks, I'm really frustrated by this because, you know, when I am home, I'm always upset that it's not snowing. In fact, I even said I was going to go out and redeem an extra winter by going to where winter is and coming back and making up for the winter we didn't have a couple of years ago. But now what has happened is that I've gone out to where winter was supposed to be. Winter was not there. Winter arrived where I was supposed to be. And now I guess I'm down two winters. So this is turning into a real debacle.
Well, I just wish you would perhaps consider that you're probably responsible.
No, I know that. I know.
And you should try not being as hot. Because it seems like you're bringing a lot of the heat wherever you go and preventing this kind of weather.
I just get pretty steam pretty easily. I don't know. It's just an attribute that I have or you know, something like that.
Well, try to cool it because we would like to experience this. And if you just would bring the temperature down a little
bit. I left, okay? I left New York and it snowed, so people should be grateful.
One other thing I wanted to mention is we needed to get some supplies. We were trying to run some errands once we got settled in there near Alexanderplatz.
Well, yeah, this is an embarrassing story because we had to get some supplies at a drugstore. A friend of ours is immunocompromised, as a courtesy, we were going to test to make sure that we didn't have COVID. And that's, important. In order to do that, we had to get a test kit at a drugstore. And most drugstores, of course, were closed over the holiday. But we had good word that one of them was open in Hauptbahnhof, which is the main train station. So we hightailed it on down to that train station. Or so we thought. We got on the S-Bahn, which is one of the two train systems they have. In German cities, S-Bahn and U-Bahn, which is mostly underground and smaller. What we did was we took it a couple of stops. I thought it was three stops, but Kyle, I saw you moving towards the door after two stops, and I looked at the board to see what the next station was, and I saw Ostbahnhof, and I said, okay, we're here. And we got off, and both of us said, wait a minute, something's wrong. This doesn't make sense. Because, first of all, I saw more S-Bahn trains. I saw them taking four tracks instead of two. And I know at Hauptbahnhof they have two tracks, not four. So why was I seeing four? And things just didn't add up. Things were weird. And that's when I realized we're not at Hauptbahnhof. We're at Ostbahnhof. Ostbahnhof is the eastern train station. It used to be the central train station for East Germany. And it's still a fairly big station, but is nowhere near as important as it used to be. Hauptbahnhof is the newly constructed main station for all of Berlin. We had gone in the wrong direction, and instead of going three stops, we went two stops. I saw Ostbahnhof. It looked like Hauptbahnhof. But guess what? There was a drugstore there, too, and we were able to get exactly what we needed and save a stop, I guess, and see a different train station. You saw that for the first time.
I did, and it was really perplexing at first because the ceiling, some of the granite, the stone platform and the like being gray and, I don't know, familiar, but as you said, it just wasn't quite Hauptbahnhof. Eventually we resolved that. We ran our errands, got the supplies we needed, but took a little bit of time to step out, look at the outside of the station. There was all these police cars. Apparently there's a precinct, basically, in that station. But in walking a little bit away in the parking lot, you were able to point out just the architecture and how this definitely was from a different era, the way it was constructed. And it was architecturally interesting and kind of definitely a little bit of a diversion for us, but worth noting just where we had ended up.
And the funny thing is, this was right after we had directed a group of tourists from Calcutta in Alexanderplatz we thought they were looking for Hop on Hop, the same place that we were going, and we almost convinced them to get on the train with us because we were going to the same place. They said Hop on Hop, but what they were actually saying, we realized, was they were looking for the Hop on Hop off bus, you know, the bus that tourists use.
Yeah, when they said double decker, I was like, wait a minute, I don't think you're looking for a station.
Well, some trains are double decker.
It's true. So, we did direct them, because I had double-checked with them in the midst of conversation and looked at the phone. One of the members of their group was carrying, and he was talking about Alexanderplatz and sort of needing to meet or find this in the center of something. So I just directed them over to where the Christmas Village was. It turns out later we saw representatives from those tours with, they have like big flags and the logo of that bus and stuff, and they were very much in the center of Alexanderplatz where the tram runs through it, between the two sides of the market. So hopefully they found what they were looking for. But we had a nice, pleasant exchange with them, asked, you know, where you were from, what you were doing, and they were kind of standing in the middle of a tramway, so I did guide them as we were figuring out what they were asking away from the tram.
Yeah, there were 10 of them, and they were standing on tram tracks trying to figure out where to go. So it was funny because we thought we knew our way around, and we were saying, oh, yeah, this is where you go. And in actuality, not only were we leading them into the wrong place, but we very, very soon afterwards, in fact, went completely in the wrong direction looking for that place on our own. So, we also checked out our old friend. We've talked about this before. I believe it's called the U-55 was the subway line in Berlin. It was this unique train because it only went a couple of stops, and it was a very tiny, very, very tiny train that we would visit every time we came to Berlin. And it was supposed to expand. And apparently what happened was it did expand, and we couldn't find it anymore in Hop on Hop. We found it because it was on tracks that weren't listed anywhere, and we knew there were extra tracks. And then we tracked down this train and were able to learn more about it. And I guess they finished with the expansion because, you know, we haven't seen it since before COVID. But the U-55 is now known as the U-5. That's what we learned, and it's a lot longer. I'm not sure if it was built into an existing train line or if they really did a lot of expansion in that time. But it was good to see the train that we had ridden many times when it just went three stops back and forth with the most bored driver you could imagine. To something that many tourists were taking and a real attraction.
Yeah, and that kind of is something to expect. The area itself, many of the transit links and lines are changing and transforming, expanding, connecting different things. And we also noticed a lot of different things outside of the transit system that were changing and being built. The old venue that we used to go to was barely visible, and a lot around Alexanderplatz was being built up while we were there. But just trying to find the U-55 and seeing it all grown up now was really cool, because it's a much longer line now. Those stations are well worn. They've seen quite a bit of traffic as they connect much more, and it just is a part of how it is immersed. I even kind of recalled that it had been changed, or it was going to connect to an existing line. So it was quite remarkable to see it basically totally complete, and the 55 is no longer. It is just the U-5.
Well, it's grown up. It's grown up. The U-55 is now the U-5, and we're happy to have seen it when it was just emerging. So after spending a couple of days in Berlin, we headed to Hamburg, which is kind of the whole reason why we went overseas in the first place. because there was a conference that we wanted to go to, the Chaos Communication Congress. Hadn't been there in a while. It's run by German hackers, and it's always an amazing time. We took something known as the Flixtrain from Berlin. I hadn't heard of this either. All these things have changed. But there is this discounted train line. They use the same tracks as Deutsche Bahn. So it's you know, they're following the ice trains and the intercities and all that. They do have to pull over every now and then because they're a discounted train and they don't get priority. But it's weird because when you get on this train, and they're all green, the train cars are painted green, it's basically you're on a train car from, I think, the 1980s or maybe even earlier. Very no frills, but a third the price of what you would pay if you were able to, say, go to the bar car. And, you know, it's worth it, I think. It's it got us there in the same amount of time, pretty much, except for a couple of times it pulled over. It's cool to see tracks being used for other uses, other trains.
Yeah, you noticed that almost immediately when we got to Berlin, and we asked around, asked some friends if they knew anything about it, and eventually it ended up being the best carrier for us. And as you said, they are quite old. They look like very old, sort of 80s, 90s rolling stock, but they have been sort of gutted and retrofitted. The interiors are somewhat newer than you would see or anticipate from the outside look. But the bright green is quite noticeable, and it wasn't uncomfortable. I would mention, though, it was packed. There were a lot of people making this trip. Of course, the holidays are in full swing, but we were comfortable enough, and it really, for the cost, it was quite a pleasant journey.
Well, the Flixtrain, it works, you know. It gets you there. It's no frills, but it's not unpleasant. It's not like, you know, no frills airlines. But it's like going back in time.
You did notice, though, their site can be a little cumbersome. Apparently they have a bus company. It started as the Flix bus, and then the site is actually a train. And sometimes when you're trying to schedule, it switches or something.
Yeah, something weird happened to my phone where I kept trying to go to Flixtrain and it kept taking me to Flixbus. And I couldn't get out of it, no matter what.
And I looked at one of the credit card statements because I paid for a couple of the tickets on a trip we took with them, and it came up as Flixbus, even though it was a train.
Yeah, things like that are going to happen. But it's cool to just see a new train that wasn't there before on the same tracks. And that's kind of neat. But yeah, here we are in Hamburg. It's decidedly more gritty than Berlin, I think. It's just, I don't know. I like it because, you know, I'm from New York and I like gritty cities, but it can be a bit frustrating. You have all those, like, spatial issues that we've noticed in various countries out here. But also, their mass transit, it doesn't seem to make as much sense as Berlin. You know, you're, like, trying to ride a particular U-Bahn or S-Bahn, and some maps show it, some maps don't. The trains that are supposed to be there aren't there, or they go in a different direction, and literally getting three stops, which is all we had to do while we were here, was different every day, and we wound up going all different places. It's an adventure, but it seems like an unnecessary one.
Absolutely. You're being actually quite generous. In this situation, it seems this particular place is at the intersection of a highway and multiple different train lines and the U-Bahn, and a lot of it is under construction. This street out here, there's an overpass that then you get to the stations. The stations themselves have stairwells that are temporary and are very long, going from one track that's some distance away from the main station, and then the U-Bahn is near the roadway. The roadway looks like they're expanding, like this overpass over the highway is going to need a whole bunch of work, and it's just basically in total disarray, and that's adding to the complications of just trying to access the system, to say nothing of, like, the disappearing lines. I think we've been having issues with the S2 and the S7. The S7 seems to just vaporize.
It doesn't exist on many maps. I was looking at a map today on the actual wall of a station, and I was looking at the same map on a display in this little case, and the S7 was on one, but it wasn't on the other. I suspect the S7 is a new line. But really, you know, Hamburg, you got to replace the maps when you make new lines. It's really important to avoid confusing people. You know, it's funny, because as we're recording this right now, I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing S-Bahn trains going by. It's kind of cool. There are trains everywhere. They are frequent. They are... quite efficient. They do get you places. Sometimes, though, they get you places you don't necessarily want to go. We got a week pass, which basically allows us to ride for an entire week, and that's really cool. It's on a hard plastic card. For the first time this entire trip, we were checked by the ticket inspectors, who read something on my card. You know, when we got the cards, we had no idea what we were supposed to do with the cards. You know, do we swipe them? Do we get them stamped someplace? We didn't know, so we just kind of hoped for the best. And, you know, when I got inspected by the ticket inspector and they did something to my card, it was valid. It was working, so, you know, I didn't wind up in jail.
Yeah, it was an interesting process when you got the HVV cards. You basically loaded it up with money and then use it as a payment method to purchase the weekly pass, but it was useful having it on your person. They did check it, scanned it, and gave us the okay to pass through.
Even that was difficult. Remember the machine? We had to keep adding in increments of 10 euro or something. We couldn't just buy it for what we wanted with the value. We what in the world? Hold on. It's, you know, it's gotten a little louder than I would like it to be for us recording radio. Do you think this is being picked up?
Yeah, I think you mentioned a little bit that there might be a little noise earlier. Did we forget to mention exactly what's going on?
Well, I don't know what's going on outside. I know, you know, inside, we're just kind of hanging out. It's... Well, it's New Year's Eve. I mean, that doesn't. You think that has something to do with it?
I know that they celebrate in a little bit more boisterous way here.
I didn't think they celebrated in Germany. I thought that was a U.S. thing.
Well, I thought I saw some earlier stuff from other parts of the world, but yeah, I think we bang pots and pans and things.
Well, you know, now that I'm looking, I do see in the sky. Lights, little explosions of various sorts. Let me just peer out the window here. Yeah, you know, you can hear that. It seems like more than a couple of people are engaged in some kind of competition, a celebration. I'm not exactly sure. It's 23:59. What does that mean? 11:59 p.m.
is the last minute of 2025.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, you know what? We should do something. I don't know what the hell's going on out there, but do we have a bottle of bubbly? Okay. Good. So, what I think we should do? Well, I'm holding a microphone. You're holding a champagne bottle. I think you should point it outside and. Open it so that the thing flies across the street. We're on the 35th floor here. No, we're not. We're actually only about three floors up, but still. I guess this is the time. Oh, yeah, it is. Wow, that was louder than anything outside. Kyle's pouring two glasses of champagne right now. And Kyle, may I say cheers?
Cheers.
And
for, what's this year? It's going to be 2026.
Yeah, 26.
All right. That's a good number. Let's see what happens this year. Thank you. I'm sorry. I thought I mentioned that it was New Year's Eve and that we were just summing up everything. I just didn't think people would take it so seriously here. Look at that. Wow. People are driving their cars and riding their bicycles and walking their dogs. Oh, those poor dogs.
Well, E, may I be the first to say Happy New Year?
That makes me the second person to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Should we adjust our levels? This is getting really boisterous here.
I'm sorry, did I say that too loudly? Do you want me to calm down?
Well, I want you to be able to say it the way you mean it, but I feel like I'm speaking too loudly.
No, I think we're fine. I am still hearing... Don't they know it's after midnight? I mean, are you supposed to keep doing this? I want to continue talking about what we've been doing in Hamburg. I mentioned that we went to the conference, the hacker conference, and that was certainly an adventure. It always is. So many people, tens of thousands of people show up to these things. Most of them are German, which is incredible when you realize the size difference in countries, and yet they're able to put together something so amazing every year with so many people, such enthusiasm, at all generations. People from 5 to 95 show up to Chaos Communication Congresses, and it's just, it's really amazing.
The event itself took place in a conference center that we'd attended an event there before. So the space had been renovated in the intervening years, and now they'd returned to this city.
What is that in the sky there? That's a bright orange light just slowly gliding past. Is that a drone? Is that an enemy drone of some sort? I mean, there are places where people have to be concerned about that.
I don't know. It's smoking, but gliding.
Everybody smokes in Germany. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, there's a...
Whoa, hold on. I'm sorry. There's fireworks literally within inches of us coming up the way. I'm closing this window. Okay, you see, now you don't hear anything. That's how good the windows are. Somebody must be right below our window launching fireworks. I just would like not to have fireworks come into the room, if that's not asking too much.
Germans take this seriously.
Apparently they do. Apparently so. So, you know, we talked about this on Off the Hook on the 31st of December. You know, just to rapidly sum up. The Chaos Communication Congress is an awesome event. Happens every year. Always happens on the 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th of December, no matter what day of the week that is. And that makes it a very constant thing. But I was just blown away. They have five floors of a big building, and they just create art and music and all manner of lectures and presentations and just fun, just all-out fun. And acceptance of people, no matter where they're from or what their background is. And we really, really need to learn from that.
Yeah, this overall mood, I think, is one of the most significant parts of it. I think the way we talk about it in the U.S. is the conversations in between tracks and things. And for us, it's very relaxing to be in an event that you're not really doing as much, but you get to experience it. Because we organize events and do things in the States, obviously a little bit differently, different scale and so forth, but to just experience it and be with people is really invigorating. It gives you ideas, It allows you to just be yourself around so many other different people that aren't there to judge. They're there to be just as relaxed and share in that affinity for technology or discussion of different issues. And for us, it's just been really refreshing. I think my attitude was we really needed this because 2025 was an incredibly difficult year, and we had been away from these communities in Europe for quite some time, and we want to be able to share our perspective. And boy, did we feel welcome and relaxed. And I think not having a whole lot of expectations and obligations really made it that much more significant. And it's just incredible how much this hacker subculture and technology enthusiasts and hobbyists have grown, and the understanding and acceptance of people. I think groups that are marginalized and otherwise relegated to the sidelines in the mainstream basically ran the show. And it just is, it's such a different atmosphere than anything you might encounter in the sort of wider society. I know I feel like that in coming from Seattle. Seattle is such a kind of superficial place that's hell-bent on ignoring anybody that isn't kind of conforming in certain ways, and that's so common in the mass media and in even in a big eclectic city like New York. The kinds of things that get amplified are often not nearly as cool as the stuff you don't hear about. And to go to a place that's really celebrating everything else is, for me, just such a cool experience. And that's what I project onto it from my upbringing and from my kind of worldview. And I really want to bring some of the calmness and spirit that we need in really chaotic times. And what better place than going to a chaos event?
Absolutely. Well said. And calmness, I think, is the word, because it's just so relaxed, and people are themselves, and everybody is able to express themselves and learn. And it's magic. There's just no other way to describe it. Anyway, that concludes our time in Germany. We're going to be heading on to another Flixtrain, heading to Berlin for some final business. And
I'm just so inspired, and just even figuring how to get back was itself a challenge. But we're going to be returning to the U.S. As it turns out, we didn't know if we were going to actually come back. We didn't plan any return trips when we started the trip.
Well, we're still working on that, and we'll get more into detail on that as it gets closer, because we're not there yet, and there's still some things that we have. What's going on now?
Oh, I'm just pointing out the fire station that is across the way.
All the fire trucks are leaving. They're all leaving the fire station. Wow, I wonder what that means. Let's open the window and see if they pass by here. I like their sirens. You know, I guess you can't really hear them over what's going on out there now.
But we had to do a lot of planning. You found a bunch of things. We had some help. But basically, it was quite an ordeal to find rates and connections to get back to the U.S. on short notice. We thought it would be much easier, especially during such a peak holiday, but you and some of our friends that were helping us were able to guide us into an unusual route, but it will work, and it's relatively affordable. So thankfully, all of that is something we'll just then piece together with our rail planning.
We'll figure all that out, and we'll give some more details in the future. But for now, we're going to say a peaceful goodnight as we usher in 2026, which hopefully won't be a war-torn year of any sort. And
we will see you next time.
A big thank you to everyone at the CCC event. Like I said, just really magical seeing all kinds of people, young and old, and everyone here in Hamburg and in Europe. We really feel at home and quite welcome. And you have some more champagne to drink. Let's finish this.
I do have more.
It's time to celebrate. Get off the radio.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Yeah, we got to get off the radio. The person coming on after us, I would like us to do that. So good night, everybody. We will see you next time.
Madonna mit Material Girls.
Auf Mary Lou von Bruno Mars.
Und Cher mit
Believe.
Hören Sie einen der drei, gibt es sofort 100 Euro geschenkt. Laufen zwei Songs bei uns, warten 1000 Euro auf Sie. Und spielen wir alle drei hintereinander, schenken wir Ihnen 5.000 Euro Urlaubsgeld. Die Berliner Rundfunk 91.4 Happy Hits. Ab Montag geht's los.
Wir brauchen dich. Wir wollen Audiowerbung besser machen und benötigen deine Hilfe als Hörer. Nimm an spannenden Online-Befragungen teil und erhalte dafür tolle Prämien. Also mach mit und registriere dich jetzt unter diehörer.de.
Berliner Rundfunk 91.4.
Chapter 8, Czechia.
He's a mooja, a daddy mooja. His hands sticking out, wanting money from me. He's a mooja, a daddy mooja. He got a fast deal cooking up down the street. 5, 10, or 20, that's all he needs. He's a mooja, brother-in-law. He's a mooja, a brother-in-law.
Děku, to byly The Contours se skladbou This All Heart of Mine 1966, Bobby Hep Feel So So 1961 a Paul P. Brother in Love stejný rok. Po Francích jste si odpočinuli u předchozího soulu a je zde druhý single britské záškodnické kapely, kterou zajímal jen chaos a která po krátké, ale vysoké kariéře v něm zmizela. Kdybyste ho měli v dobrém stavu a byl to originál od AMN, vězte, že v roce 2024 byla vyhlášena jeho nová aukční cena na $31,000. Takže Sex Pistols, God Save the Queen, 1977. Po svém vydání byla snaha establishmentu single potlačit. Píseň nehrála BBC a další regulovaná rádia. Přesto dosáhla číslo jedna a stala se písní, co změnila svět. Přichází pogování. A za týden...
Kyle, what are we doing here in Prague?
Well, we're still in transit, I believe.
Yeah, we are. And the reason for that is because of crazy airfares. We were trying to book our way back to the States. God knows why, but we felt it might be a good idea for us to head back at some point. In so doing, we discovered that for some reason, at the beginning of January, fares are extremely high if you're flying directly from one city to another city. But there are some exceptions, and those exceptions bring you to different places where you have to make a stop, and then there's a stopover, and then you go someplace else. So we're not going to get into the details of just what we had to do exactly, but suffice to say, we wound up in Czechia, which is not a problem at all, but we came here as a result of us trying to get back home. We couldn't just fly out of Berlin; that would have been too simple. But you know, there was one instance I remember where we found a flight that cost about $600, which I think is reasonable, and that entailed going to Brussels from London and then back to New York. So we would have had to get find our way to London, fly to Brussels, and then have a layover of one sort or another. It's either 8 hours or 20 hours or something like that. And then from Brussels, fly to New York. You know, for $600, it seemed okay, except it's expensive to get to London. So we figured, you know, why not just, you know, cut out the first part and fly from Brussels to New York, you know? Save the airline some money, and we'll just, you know, take that part of the flight. Yeah, the way it works, instead of $600 at that point, even though you're using half the flight instead of the full flight, costs $2,200. So it's that kind of thing that would just drive you absolutely insane if you did this on a regular basis. So anyway, the short of it is we get to travel a little bit more, and here we are in a country that has changed its name since the last time we were here. It was the Czech Republic. It was Czechoslovakia before that. Now it's Czechia, or as some people call it, Czech.
Yeah, and I'd just add, it's actually kind of coincidental, but I had been reading before we were really booking these return journeys, and found that some interesting things were going to be happening right after New Year's in Czech. One of which is they have legalized cannabis.
You know, that surprised me because I figured, you know, Eastern Bloc countries probably wouldn't sign on for something like that right away. But it is surprising walking around here in Prague, so many cannabis shops. I was blown away. It's more open here than in Germany.
Yeah, and I think some of that at the moment is geared towards tourism. And I can't really attest to the quality. It's not really something I want to be involved with. But I see grow lights in people's windows, and people are allowed to produce it themselves. And I have a feeling there's probably some great cannabis in this area, but they really don't have any kind of retail scheme. It's just been formalized that it is legal.
That's correct. Now, a couple of health notes that I figure we should update people on, and that's since the Chaos Congress in Hamburg that we attended with tens of thousands of other people, there always are some health-related products of that, side effects, if you will. And in this particular case, they were nice enough to hand out test kits for COVID, for the flu. Were there other things as well?
Flu A and B were also part of the test kits that we got. We've heard there's also four different things in some of the other combo kits, but this had those three, so we were like, absolutely, this is a smart thing to be handing out after a big event. And people really do run themselves, you know, all hours, and it's, you know, when you're traveling, just an additional amount of stress on the body. So having those, we were confident, okay, let's calculate when we want to take these, and we'll have a little bit of a scientific data on how we did after being around so many people. And at the time, I think I was pretty good. I felt okay. I was tired, a little achy.
Well, they advise you to wait about 5 days until the end of the event to take the test. So that's what we're doing. In fact, we're taking the test right now. We're going to find out if we're sick in a few minutes. But I got to say, after Congress, a day or two afterwards, I felt awful. I was all achy and didn't want to get out of bed. Of course, you know, when you're traveling, you have to constantly be getting out of bed and going places. Kyle, you felt fine, but lately you have been sneezing and sniffling and not feeling great either.
Yeah, mainly a runny nose, and it's cleared up in like maybe 48 hours, so it's not too big a deal. I'm hopeful it's just like a mild cold, but we'll see. And yeah, it's just there's so many factors. It's hard to actually place it when exactly anything like that would have occurred. It's also quite cold. The weather in the places we've been in Berlin and in Hamburg for the remainder of last year and so on. And then, of course, we packed ourselves onto some trains to get out here.
Yeah, and Kyle mentioned it's cold here in Czechia and in Prague. In fact, it was snowing while the train was coming from Berlin to here, which was nice. But, you know, it's colder back home. It's colder in New York, and New York has gotten a lot more snow than we've seen here. Haven't seen any in Iceland or Finland or places like that where you would expect to see it. But, you know, I'm not going to go on about that again. Instead, let me complain about my tooth, which I brought up once. In the past, I said that my crown had come loose, and I was hoping that I could make it through the entire trip without it falling out. Well, it's gotten really, really close to falling out in the last couple of days. In fact, I was able to buy some temporary cement or glue or whatever it is that you call it to basically push it back in if it does fall out. I did that in Germany, and of course, that involved trying to explain this with a language barrier. And I actually this morning tried to use that because it sure seemed like it was 95% detached and was about to fall out. I couldn't get it to fall out. I was trying. I figured, you know, at least if it's out, I don't have to worry about swallowing it while I'm asleep or something like that, or just losing it in some other way. So, you know, I just would have to keep the area clean, but I couldn't get it out, so I figured, okay, if I can't get it out, then at least I can try and glue it back in. And I tried using the German, I think it's denture cream or whatever that they use to keep dentures in. I figured it would work on one tooth. The pharmacist thought that as well, but it didn't work great. So I got a Czech version of that here, which is supposed to be better. I'm going to try that later. I just have to make a few more days without losing this thing when I can see my actual dentist and get it fixed. So that's one of the travel hazards that you go through occasionally. But one thing that we did this is a memory from the last time we were here. We stayed in this hotel on a little side street. Just a random place. It happened to be run by Best Western somehow. Go figure. Next door to it was this restaurant that we went to, and it turned out to be a huge place, like with a number of rooms filled with people. There were accordion players. And it was a very festive atmosphere. And it was magic. It was a magical thing. And I remember looking the place up, and the only way I knew what the place was called or how to find it was to find that Best Western Hotel. And so I found the Best Western Hotel that was on the street, looked like the street that we had been on, and I looked next door, and it was all shuttered and abandoned. And I was very depressed and sad, because this was a magical place. It really was, and I recommended it to anybody who came to Prague. It's just a festive atmosphere, a true Czech tradition. It had been around for a very long time. Maybe it was COVID, maybe it was just the economy, who knows. So I've been sad about that for years. So, enter Kyle, who remembered the name of the place, looked it up, and said, "Emmanuel, you fool, this place is still open." And what went out of business, apparently, was the hotel as a Best Western outlet, because there is a hotel there, but it's not affiliated with Best Western. But next door to that hotel is the very same place. Last night we went to that place, and it was the most amazing experience ever.
Yeah, it's such an incredible thing to do. You have open seating in this hall. We've talked about it in previous shows, but yeah, this time we were in a different hall that had like a cabaret stage on one end. They weren't doing anything there, but they had the musicians there that we remembered playing accordion and tuba. You just basically go wherever they direct you. We were behind a group of some young people, just followed them down a hallway, and first we thought we were going to the washroom, but then you turn a corner, you turn another corner, and then, okay, you're there with just rows and rows of tables and people imbibing and having a meal together. And, well, we were thrust in there. They weren't quite ready for a table, so we were sort of standing there. But we eventually got a seat and had a really lovely time. They start you off with a digestive.
Well, let me just explain. Okay, first of all, you wait online outside. And then when you get in, the guy directs you down a hallway. He doesn't come with you. He directs you down a long hallway, and as Kyle said, it looked like the hallway to the bathroom, because it was. And I wasn't sure if we were supposed to make that turn or not. And he was way back behind at the front door directing us in a foreign language to keep going, to make that right turn. And we did. And yes, the bathroom was down that hallway, but also another dining room. And there must be about five of those dining rooms, all filled with hundreds of people, and they're singing, and they're just sitting next to strangers. It's the most amazing communal experience that you could imagine. And when you sit down, this guy comes round with a tray full of shots, and he just offers you one. And you think he's offering you a shot, but actually he's selling you a shot. But, you know, it's worth it. And what they do is they have this little rectangular white piece of paper, and they just do a little one on it. They have their own language. And at the end, you bring that rectangular piece of paper up to the cashier, and they figure it out. But it's not very expensive. It's just a very festive atmosphere. And the place was founded in, get this, 1499. That's how long it's been around. So that's why I was so upset when I thought it would close, and I'm so happy that it didn't.
Absolutely. And given that you're a little bit concerned about your tooth, I feel so bad about that, in that eating is a big part of travel. You need to nourish yourself when you get from point to point. And this tradition, going back to a place that we've grown to love and wanted to visit and revisit and keep as a tradition, was really, really magical. And I was so thankful that you were able to at least enjoy part of it despite that, and just refamiliarize yourself with this, because it's sort of like brings you back in time. You can sort of imagine eating in a large group setting like this. It's a brewery. It's a really fun atmosphere. People are recording some of the music, especially if people know like an old folk song, or if the musicians find out you're from a specific place, they'll play a song maybe from your region or from your country. And it's all very jovial and a great way to kind of have a traditional meal if you're going to go for it, instead of some kind of quiet, subdued place.
I believe we have some of that audio, because we recorded some ourselves.
Hey, hey, hey.
Well, and it just is a huge selection, a lot of hearty food. I like kind of mixing things up with what I order. I felt like I needed some vegetables and just a good variety, and it really was incredibly tasty. And again, I was starting to feel, let's say, a little kind of, well, run down, or just a little bit of that fatigue from having spent several days as well as a holiday in Hamburg, and then getting back to moving around and carrying bags and standing on cold platforms waiting for trains. So that that hearty meal, I think, was medicinal for me in some way.
Yeah, oh, it absolutely was. It just made us feel good, and it was a good day, good first day in Prague. But, you know, right now our tests are ready, so we're going to step away from the window and walk over. This isn't a HIPAA violation, is it? I hope not. So we're going to look at these little cassette things. Yes, turn the light on. Now, this is more complicated than COVID because there's two windows, right?
Yeah, it is slightly more complex. There are two places to put the sample. And
you want to interpret what you see?
Yeah. I'll go ahead. I'm going to read this. It's a very tiny print.
This is coming to you live. This is a very dramatic revelation of whether or not we were infected with something at the Congress. What do you got, Kyle?
I'm negative for both.
Oh, yeah. We're not talking about attitude. We're talking about the test results.
I am negative for flu A and B and negative for COVID.
Well, good. All right. Well, here's my test result. Tell me what that is.
You are also negative.
God damn it. Really? We both felt so terrible. Don't we deserve to be categorized with something? I guess we're just run down.
Vintage Guru by DJ Evo.
Reklama Rádia 1.
Vše, co potřebuji za cenu, kterou chci, to se vyplatí. Od pátku v Lidlu najdete vepřovou kýtu bez kosti v ceně 79,90 za 1 kg. Ledový salát 1 kus za 19,90. A máslo 250 gramů za 24,90. Lidlu, to se vyplatí.
Likvidace kolekce v CCC. Získejte slevu 30% na vše při nákupu za minimálně 550 korun. Obuv, kabelky a doplňky světových značek. Akce platí i na zlevněné produkty do 6. ledna v prodejnách CCC.
Pojď, musíme ještě natankovat a nakoupit.
Nebyla jsi na Molce včera?
Ano, ale teď můžeme s každým nákupem vyhrát novou Škodu Octavii.
Tak to se musíme stavit aspoň na kafe. Tankujte nebo nakupujte na Molce. Použijte aplikaci MolMove a vyhrajte novou Škodu Octavii. A k tomu denně palivové karty. Více na soutěž.molmove.cz.
Víte, na čem bych ráda ušetřila?
To je přece na vás. V Albertu po Vánocích šetříte přesně tam, kde sami chcete. Právě teď třeba nabízíme více než 150 mléčných výrobků se slevou až 50%. Takže ušetříte, ať už máte rádi jakoukoliv značku. Albert.
Reklama na Radio 1.